reminded me what Pastor Bowder or Dr. Bowder said, don't preach without your coat on. But this is a formal cultural dress, so in the Philippines, it's appropriate to preach in this attire. So thank you for Dr. Bowder's reminder. I'll turn it on in a minute. And good evening. Tonight we'll take a look at a topic that is very much going around for a while now, looking at some issues about churches, about relevance of the church. So we'll take a look at this. So let's stand and open our Bible to Titus chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So tonight we'll take a look at relevance. I titled this message, The Believers and the Relevance of the Gospel. How do we make the gospel of Christ relevant? Or you can say, how do we make Christianity relevant? Or should we? Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Teach us through your word. May the Holy Spirit do what I cannot do. May you open understanding. May you teach us. May you give us the wisdom to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Market-driven church. But the first time I heard it, there are things that the churches are doing, and it's been a while now, that they're trying to bring people in. So in other words, they look at churches and say, why are churches dying? Here's a quote from a pastor. He said, what was needed, apparently, were new methods to reach the lost, new techniques to promote the church, new packages for the gospel message. People, we were told, were not rejecting the gospel of Christ. They were rejecting our out-of-date, unappetizing forms, philosophies, and methods. It is these pronouncements that need to be examined. And so how do we, or should we? Let's go back to verse 10 of Titus. It says, not purloining or embezzling, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn or decorate or make beautiful the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You see, there's an element of truth in that. And so this is the question we will ask tonight. Why should Christianity be made relevant? what would relevant Christianity look like? Or is Christianity relevant to unbelievers? To believers, we know, at least here in Titus, it's saying it should be. There should be some form of a gospel that is beautiful. So it was a system at that time that not only defined progress in technology, but brought convenience and entertainment. This was the video cassette tape. How many have seen this one? So it was a progress. You now can watch movies from the comfort of your own home. There was even a debate on what system is better. I tried to look for a Betamax. Has anyone heard the Betamax? Beta who? So it was a slightly smaller. I could not find my Betamax. But there was a VHS or Betamax debate at that time, which was better. I know Sony brought it out because I was in the Navy and, you know, went to Japan. It was big there, and so there was that debate. But the progress, this thing was very convenient. And you can now, like I said, watch movies in the comfort of your home. Then came those laser discs. So then came those big laser discs. I don't know if you remember that. It has side A and side B. You know, this big, you're watching it, and suddenly it paused. It says, turn to side B. So you got to turn to watch that movie. It did not last long. Then came, of course, the DVDs. Not only is more memory in it, but it's very small. You don't have the big laser disc, and you don't have the VHS. Then there's another argument. Okay, do you get the Blu-ray or do you get the HD? So, but this progress with this technology never stopped. They are much smaller now, much larger. Now everything is in the cloud. You know, hey, you want to go somewhere? It's in the cloud. It'll follow you. But is this what it meant to be relevant? So when we look at a video cassette tape, some of you probably have not seen one, young people. And so you may say, well, the thing with Christianity is we have to define what is relevant. So there are different uses of the word relevant. So tonight we'll take a look at least four. So we can say, is this relevant? Is this applicable? So a young person, look at this now. Where will I use this? Do you have the player or VHS? Is it applicable? Is it understandable? Is it intelligible? Sometimes we use that term and say, it's irrelevant. People don't understand it anymore. Thirdly, we can say, is it recognizable? So we look at this. Do you recognize this? You know, as an old man, I recognize this. But then there are another use to say, is it desirable? Is it appealing? Well, that's the thing that we will look at tonight. Well, you see, the problem is Christianity is not a video cassette tape. Christianity is a body of doctrines. Pastor Koak just read our doctrinal statement. It is a body of doctrines, the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Let's open our Bible to Jude 3. So if you turn to Jude 3 and 4, so Jude 3 and 4 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for, here it is, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of the old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at Christianity, we're not asking about a videotape, cassette tape. We're looking at the body of doctrines. So our question should be, is this body of doctrine relevant? Whatever term, the word we use, is it applicable, we can ask. Is it intelligible, reasonable? Is it something that we recognize? Is it recognizable? But I think what the world is telling us, is it desirable? So how do we make the gospel relevant? It says here in verse 1, if you turn back to our Titus chapter 2, Paul said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So this is a body of teaching, the faith that is sound, that is healthy. The goal is spiritual health. It is a well-being of believers. To become a healthy doctrine, it must feed, it must nourish, it must be balanced. You know, nowadays, you have a balanced diet, right? You got to have your greens, you got to have your meat. You know, I just like meat. But it has to be balanced. So a healthy doctrine is very much the same. It should contribute to our growth. So how do we make the gospel relevant? There is an element in Titus that says yes, but it is different from what the world is selling us. On a market-driven church, they will tell us, do you recognize this? It's out of date. But they are defining our doctrines differently, or at least they are looking at the outward. You know, you come to the church, it should not look like a church, it should be like a corporate world. Because that's what people are familiar with. They should go there and should have Starbucks right there on the side and Dunkin' Donut on the other one. When you look at it, it looks like you are in a concert because people are familiar with that. In all things, it says here, which becomes sound doctrine. But everything, number one, how do we make the doctrines intelligible, understandable, and reasonable? I say, number one, by teaching the doctrine systematically. Here Paul said, in all things which become sound doctrine. In verse 7, it says, in all things showing thy pattern, a pattern of good works. In verse 9, it says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. And in our verse 10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You see, everything and all things connect. Teach the gospel, teach the doctrine systematically. It is intelligible because we teach them systematically. You and I already have a system. Or a worldview, whether you know it or not. You have something that you put together, life, or at least understanding life. When there's a death in a family, you already have an interpretation of that. When you have something happen that is nice, like a birth of a baby, you already have an interpretation of that. It is a system. It is a worldview. So we already have that. So we can make our doctrine intelligible by teaching them systematically. If you have been in this church for a while, you know that's what we try to do. Our theology should change for the better as we experience life and study the scriptures. Have you read or studied the scriptures before you finally got saved? I wonder how many has read and studied the scripture from cover to cover and then finally got saved. I have not met any. And so when we look at this, then when you first get saved, you already have a system. You and I have an interpretation of the world. And so how then can we make that better? Then as we grow as Christians, our beliefs should begin to crystallize and become more reasonable. There once was a man who loved soup. So fond was he of soup that he decided to devote his meals entirely to that concoction. You know, he finally discovered soup. It can give me everything. Soup, he reasoned, could supply him with every nutrient that he needed. So he forbade his wife to set anything on the table except soup. Says, wife, don't set anything except soup. His motto was, sola supa, soup alone. At the next meal, however, he received an unpleasant surprise. He arrived at the table to find no utensils, no vessels, nothing but soup, and the tabletop awashed with it. What is this? He exclaimed. His wife replied, sola supa. You want soup alone? You get soup alone. We must not confuse our food with the implements that we use to eat it. Bowls and spoons cannot nourish us, but without them, we will go hungry. True spoons are not soup, but equally true, soup is not spoons. We know this is about the scripture and use of reason, or revelation and use of logic. So in other words, how can we make the doctrine relevant? By teaching the doctrines systematically. We use reason. We just don't say, just look at the Bible. I wish that is true. But when you're first a Christian, I asked before, have you read from cover to cover? Have you studied? So now, as we grow, then we should change, or at least our theology should change for the better. Wrong ideas that I had when I first got saved. I'm not sure if you have the same ideas, but when I first got saved, I said one of the things, my idea is this: you will not encounter problem when you're in God's will. You know, in the Navy, you move, you go to the next duty station, and you go, this is God's will. And then you started what? Experiencing problems. And so then I started reading the book of Acts and what Paul was encountering. And so I said, whoa, let me adjust my theology to the scripture. How about this? God helps those who help themselves. But there is clarity in scripture. If you may, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. So we say, yes, we can make the doctrine beautiful. We can say relevant intelligently by teaching the doctrine systematically. In 2 Timothy 3:15 it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, as we learn, as we look at the scripture, as we use reason, as we use these different tools to help us grow, then we can see that we are able to find that these doctrines, this body of teaching, it's not the videotape, it's not the video cassette tape. It is the body of doctrine that helps us understand. Pastor Kowak's third point, when I was new, Pastor Kowak, your third point this morning was anathema to me. When I was new Christian, I don't know, what was his third point? When he said, God provides everything necessary to what? To secure our salvation. You see, if you're a new Christian, you start with yourself. You start, how did I get saved? We start with us. What we did, why, what I did to receive. But that is fine. But it should not stop there. As we looked at the doctrines, then we realize God is bigger. God is bigger than my experience. And so that is why here we teach what we call the big story. The big story is the redemption story. Yes, our story is there, but our stories are the little stories. Those are our stories. But when we put things together, it makes it reasonable. It makes us understand who God is. God provides everything necessary to secure our salvation. So what else? What else in Titus, if you go back? Did I say 2 Timothy? Did I read that? Or not yet? I forgot. But in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says here, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This is called the clarity of the scripture. When it comes to salvation, it's crystal clear. But my friends, not every doctrine is clear. Because once you get saved, even the apostle said, what is this Paul writing? We can't understand some of it. But what is about salvation is different. Salvation is crystal clear. Secondly, we can make the doctrines applicable. Let's turn back to Titus chapter 2. Here it says, verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And in verse 2, the first word says that. Or here is the reason why. So then we can make the doctrines not only intelligible by teaching them systematically, but by explaining the doctrines practically. These doctrines apply to each and every one of us. Look at the things that is written in 2 Timothy and see if you find the scripture is applicable in all of life. To the older men, it says here in this verse, "There is also a scripture to the older women." And so Paul started writing to Timothy, "Timothy, these are your sound doctrines. There is a reason. Explain the doctrines practically. It applies to all of life, to older men, to older women, to the younger women, to the young men, even to the slaves or the servants." There are reasons why we have Sunday school. Excellent. In Sunday school this morning, and I'm sure wherever Sunday school you went to. But why is that? It's not an accident, my friend. It's not. We are trying to explain. We are trying to bring about the purpose of this text, the purpose of the scripture. Explain them that they are practical. They apply. They apply to all of life. Awana on Wednesdays. Bible studies. There's a lot of Bible studies, different groups. But the idea here is for us to explain so that when we look at the scripture, we then say, okay, that's good, but how will that affect me? No, Paul here is saying, yeah, that, and he said, these are the things that we do. There are reasons why we do these things, because otherwise it will dishonor. The scripture is dishonored because we're really treating them as good for nothing. Yeah, it's good. I know the doctrine. I know how to put things together so everything connects. You know, when you have a new shirt, right, and silk or whatever, and then you have a thread hanging, do you just pull that? See, when you already experienced that, you pull it, and what next thing you know, it's like a woven fabric, right? System is the same. The doctrines are the same. You pull one. If you're wrong in the deity of Christ, guess what? You're wrong in other doctrines. If you're wrong in the depravity of man, the sinfulness of man, then you're wrong in other doctrines. They are all connected. So we must not only teach them systematically, but explain them practically. This is how it can help your life. There's a third element. So yes, there is truth that we may and we can make the gospel beautiful. It says to adorn, to make it desirable. So there is a third thing here. If we look at verse 7, it says here, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. In verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. And so here is the term showing. So I think thirdly, we can make the doctrine desirable by obeying the doctrines intentionally. It's nice to hear them, but we have to obey the doctrines intentionally to make the doctrine desirable. This is intentional Christianity. The Bible not only commands us what to do, what not to do, but also how to comply. So what does it look like? And so Paul here started saying, these are the things you're showing a pattern. You're showing yourself in all respect to be a model. There's a design of good works. Clearly, it defines biblical rules, sometimes called form and freedom. So we know where our boundaries are, when within that we have freedom. Because we obey the doctrines intentionally by knowing the boundaries. They are not blurred lines. So we can make it desirable, but by knowing there is a pattern. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. In Matthew 7, 24 to 27, this is a house upon a rock. And you're familiar with the story, some of you may not, but house upon a rock in Matthew 7, 24 to 27 said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and here's the key, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up upon that house, and it fell. And the great was the fall of it. There is a pattern. There is a blueprint in order for us to obey the doctrines intentionally. I was at Amy's house, and there's the main house, and there's the back. I think that's where she will be living. And so Mogel was there. It was Elwin. So Elwin was there fixing the small house where Amy will be. And so I intentionally did not go there. So because I heard there are some things that going on that he started ripping that basically the whole house inside. Because what? Because it was, and he showed me, the wall was leaning this way when you enter, and on the other wall, it's leaning the opposite direction. So why is that? Because the foundation of that house was not properly done. I don't think there is a foundation in that house. You folks remember Harper? The house, the wall was leaning on one side and the other side is there. And so when you look at this foundation, there is a pattern. We have to follow that pattern. If there's a blueprint, we have to follow that blueprint. My brother is a master luthier. It's like Brother Tim, a master carpenter. My brother's on the guitar side. And so I was apprentice. So I said, you know what, I want to build a guitar, but I don't want to ruin a big one. I'll ruin a small one. So I started a ukulele. Right? So, but there is pattern in there. There are blueprints that you go and the fret wires. You know, if you play guitar, ukulele, you know you cannot just put those wires wherever you want. It will make a note, but it will not make a chord, or at least a chord that you would like to have. Because there are measurements, there are scales, and if you don't follow those measurements and scales, it will not work. It may make a sound, but it's not the sound you desire. So Christianity, to become desirable, must have a pattern. When I build the ukulele, I have a pattern to bend the sides. I have a pattern to measure the scale. I have a pattern to slot, and every slot has to measure exactly to get the proper intonation, or else it will not work. And so at the end of that, you say, so what happened to your ukulele? I'm still an apprentice. How's that? My brother always joked with me, and he said, well, now you know how to avoid the same mistakes next time. What makes Christianity applicable? What makes Christianity intelligible? We have to teach the doctrine systematically. Everything and all things connect. If you're wrong in one, you are wrong with the others. Secondly, we said that we have to explain these doctrines practically. They apply to every one of us. From little children, as Timothy knew, and Paul said, you know what? From a child, you know. You have learned this. So salvation can be learned. Salvation can, that's why we witness even to young people. Because at least with salvation, that we can know from the text, from the scripture, that it is, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know that not only that, we know that we have to grow. We know that we have put things together. That way our theology becomes better, not worse, as we put things together. As we look at life, experience life, all of life, then we know it's also applicable. We know it's applicable because we have to do it intentionally. To make it desirable, we have to obey the doctrines intentionally. There's a last concept. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2. So it said, yes, there's a pattern. It shapes our affection. It shapes our affections. It shapes our relationship. It is a pattern that we follow. And this pattern follows all relationships, beginning with God and then with men. Fourthly, we can look at verse 11 and 12. So in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's a fourth element here that we can make the doctrines recognizable by holding on to the doctrines shamelessly and faithfully. This is where a market-driven church will say, what is that? That's outdated. In fact, the young people probably won't recognize your Christianity. Or they will say it's not understandable. But you see, Christianity is not a video cassette tape. It is a body of teaching. So by saying here, by holding on these doctrines shamelessly and faithfully, let's look at read again verse 12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. And here's the thing, in this present world. This is recognizable Christianity, to train to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, learning to say no to what is evil and yes to what is good. Christians are in this world, but not of this world. There should be differences between the world and Christians in this world. Sometimes we look at Christians as nightlight. We know about the term that we should be the light of the world. But if it's bright and you have nightlight, you don't normally use nightlight, you know, when it's light still. But what happens as it gets darker and darker and darker? That nightlight becomes brighter. That nightlight serves the purpose. I don't want to trip and bang my head. I want to be able to see. Well, Christianity, by holding on to the doctrines, you will be shamed. You will be laughed at. They will say, that is not, you know, popular anymore. Yes, go in this church. It's rock and roll. That's everyone wants to be happy. They want to be happy. But you have to hold on to that shamelessly and faithfully. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. To live wisely is to live differently in this present world. Is it popular? I think the people here already know the answer. Is it something that the world will love you? I think the verse is clear. They hated it. 1 John 2:15 said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They went out from us. This is on verse 19. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So let's take a look at market-driven church. Here in verse 19 says, you know why they're out there? Because they don't belong here. But on the market-driven, let's bring them here. And they started asking, what do you like, Pastor Teinbach? What music do you listen to? What are the things you like when you come into that building? What don't you like to see? When you look at the middle section, what would you want to see? My friend, it's not an accident that the Bible is center. There's a history behind that. But the world does not like that. But why are we, and that's my question, catering to the people that went out when 1 John is saying, you know why they're out? They don't want to be here. They're not part of here. But I'm sure there are some. But the thing here is that is not what makes Christianity relevant. However the word they use, it is already relevant. It is intelligible. teach it systematically, it is already applicable. All we do is explain to everyone that it is practical. It is already desirable, something that we obey, and we have pattern. We have rules. We have this blueprint that we may obey them intentionally. And lastly, by holding on the doctrines shamelessly and faithfully, then you are recognized. You will be recognized. You do something different. You do this and not this. There is nothing more irrelevant than a church trying to imitate the culture or the world. Does the present world recognize your Christianity? This is a question we ask. Do they recognize you different from the world? If it does, then you are making Christianity relevant. This is what relevant Christianity looks like. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Bless your word.